readings. What does it mean to be a people of resilience? We've been getting these Soul Matters compilations of materials, and we've been contributing to them along with 70, now possibly 80, other Unitarian Universalist congregations that are pulling together materials and then sending them out for reflection each month. This is, what does it mean to be a people of resilience? And on the cover, since somebody else already showed you a tiny photograph, I'm going to do this too, but there's a picture, schematic, in the center, that's a tree, and the dark color, those are rocks, and that's a tree growing off those rocks. And it's a very old tree, very big. When did we decide that resilience was a solo project? It's not that we ever consciously decided that this was the case. It's just what we've done and what we've been taught. The dominant culture around us may be well-intended, but it takes us down the wrong path. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, it says. You're stronger than you think. If at first you don't succeed, try again. This is how resilience is most often framed. It's all about individual mental toughness and inner strength. Our faith tradition sometimes plays into this heroic form of resilience. We reject the idea that human beings are depraved, broken, and weak. Instead, we champion the view that we are strong, not just inherently worthy, but also inherently resourceful. We have at times promoted a "you can do it" theology. And yet, at our best, we are more nuanced. When it comes to resilience, our most saving message has always been, you can do it, and you can do it, and you do not have to do it on your own. There is a common metaphor about resilience, the one about being a tree that is willing to lean and bend rather than hold tight in place and break. We Unitarian Universalists take a different approach to this strategy of leaning. Yes, be willing to lean back and forth, we say, but most importantly, be willing to lean in and on each other. It is a reminder that resilience does have a lot to do with what is inside us, but it has even more to do with what is between us. The true path of resilience is the path of connection. It's the connection of love. We are indeed a people of resilience, not just a person with resilience. And the other reading is from the elders of the Hopi Nation. And we were in our Spirituality on Tap group. And at the end, somebody said, why don't you read that? And passed it to another member of the group. Elders of the Hopi Nation. Actually, whoever read it, do you want to come up and read it? Okay. Here is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid, who will try to hold on to the shore. They are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river and keep our heads above water. And I say, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. We are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment we do, our spiritual growth and journey come to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration, for we are the ones we have been waiting for. One of the things we've been talking about in the last, it's certainly within the last year, is the notion of being at home in the universe. And I was thinking about that as I was sitting here and thinking we ought to have one of those readings before we get started. Wilfred Cantwell Smith talked about faith, and he said it's a quality of human living. And he said, at its best, it has taken the form of a quiet confidence and joy which enable one to feel at home in the universe. Feel at home. What is home? It's home where they have to take you in. What is the they? It's not just one. It's people that you are leaning on, that you depend on. We were talking in our Spirituality on Tap group of going home as you go out on an adventure as being a failure. And then we realized that everybody in the group had experienced going home because one of their ventures hadn't panned out and they'd gone home to stay or to live. But there was that tone of failure rather than that sense of home, being the place from which you venture forth and to which you return. That place of resilience that gives you that sense that I can go and handle what comes. I am as guilty as anyone of beginning my thinking with myself. We start talking about resilience and I start thinking about how I'm resilient or not resilient. Or I look for examples in my life about being resilient. I'm not resiliently generous, but more guardedly selfish. There's more surviving in that thinking than thriving. In these reflections on resilience, resilience as handling what life gives you or throws at you, they're reflections on getting out of shape, being bent out of shape, and then somehow returning to shape. Where shape is a sense of flow and belonging and right living, being right with life. The synonyms I wrote on here are words buoyant, flexible, adaptable, responsive, life-sharing and giving. Compare those to how it feels in your mouth to say negative, constricted, tight, scared. They're different words, different feelings, different ways of being. Alive and life-filled, a return to the way things should be. The reading says we are more resilient together. I didn't get that. These readings keep coming at me and I think, I don't like what they're writing. Why are they writing that? That doesn't speak to me. And then I have to engage them and reflect on it rather than throw it out, embrace it. And the events of the month have really shown me that we are more resilient together. Think back to our first service this month where we had recipients of Dream Scholarships come and speak to the congregation. We had Alan and Denise come and speak and tell their stories. For those of you who don't know, a Dream Scholarship is a scholarship that pays the difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition for undocumented students of Hendersonville, for our children of Hendersonville. We said we want Hendersonville to be a caring community. We're going to put this together. And people came up to me afterwards and said, weren't those emotional stories? That's why we raised $4,000. From that collection. Yes, that's true, and there would not be a space for those personal stories without the embrace of the community, without the embrace of this community that's been grown to establish those scholarships, without the connection in the larger community of Hendersonville, without the involvement of Denise and Alan and their families and the fiesta and all that's going on. It wasn't just about the money. It was about the in-between. It was about the creation of this community that made that moment for those children possible. When Denise told her story about what happened in the counselor's office, it wasn't that she was able to say, I could envision getting a college degree and having money to pay for it because of the money. It's because of everything that you, we, Judy Hendersonville, the people who've participated in this have built. It was the embrace of the community that created that resilience, that being and bringing it back to shape. When we talked last Sunday about the March on Selma and the 50th anniversary of that, we weren't talking just about individuals. I thought about that and individual resilience. We were also talking about community. The SCLC and all they did, the hundreds of thousands together that walked across the bridge to then respond to what the police did. When we talked about the Unitarian Universalist ministers, we weren't talking just about individual people who responded. We were talking about communities that existed and were built so that they could respond. One of the stories that wasn't told was of Clark Olson, who lives in Asheville. Helen Bishop was reminding me, and I think he told it on his interview on 88.1, where he was in Berkeley, California at the time, and he was a young minister, and he said, I can't go there but because of the airfare in 1965. One of his congregants said, you go, I'll cover the airfare. Now, it wasn't just one person saying that. Again, you're back into the community of where that is an expected thought. Communities of faith that supported them. When we were reflecting on resilience in our Spirituality on Tap group this last Thursday, one person said, as we were talking, hang on. They reflected that it's not about an individual. When I wake up in the morning, this person said, and they said, I'm a very good worrier. I'm a very good creator of anxiety and darkness. But when I wake up in the morning and look over, it's that connection with my partner. When I say my prayers, it's that connection with God, that being in that larger love. Then when I think of my friends, it's that connection with all of those people that help get me out of bed and into the day. That's what makes me feel resilient. And then we all moved in to that reflection, that resilience of a larger love, a larger presence, the in-between that gives back to us. In the last 2 weeks, I've done two memorial services. It's gotten to be my Saturday routine, somebody said yesterday. But lives that had ended were celebrated, but lives that are ongoing were changed because of the community. They bounced back. People came together. This space helped people move together in new ways. Family divisions returned to a shape they knew. They were resilient in that moment. What had been oppositional became softer, more resilient, more flexible, and safer to be around. Right relationship had at least come back a little bit. Love and grace did their work. For there to be resilience, there has to be giving, time, friendship, love, connection. We all have to participate in generosity. All our activities of generosity, generous presence. The between has to be created and recreated over and over again. Love has to be given and renewed over and over again, resiliently generous. I wake up in the morning, I give thanks for 24 brand new hours. The sun is rising over the forest and also on my awareness. Resiliently generous. I realize as I've thought about it, reflected on it, that this is the language of faith, of how I understand faith to be and what it means. Why we are first and foremost not a faith what? Community. A faith community. And why we are so important in that role and function. Sharon Parks writes about faith as a primal force of promise. She says, we cannot remember, but we are born into a rudimentary sense of trustworthy pattern, wholeness, and relation, a sense of an ultimate environment that intends our good, a larger love, an understanding of meaning, a space, a shape to life, a sense that will be challenged and bent out of shape from the beginning. Then in the next paragraph, Parks writes about how we recognize this challenge of human being and the ongoing struggle to recompose that which was promised at the dawn of existence. And we address it in community. We address this in community. In most religious traditions, she says, a ritual occasion marks our entry into a social world of meaning and purpose. In Jewish and Christian traditions, the community gathers around the infant and does an extraordinary thing. The child is addressed as a child of the covenant, where the covenant is that promise that was made. Child of the promise, that primal promise. What is most significant about this declaration is that the adult community knows that though the infant may with good care be able to reestablish a trustworthy sense of connection, relation, and wholeness, this task is not accomplished alone, nor is it accomplished once and for all. Resilient. You must be resilient and bounce back. Community must be resiliently generous and resiliently committed to keep the promise. In the ups and downs of daily life, we human beings experience an ongoing dialogue between fear and trust, hope and hopelessness, power and powerlessness, alienation and belonging. Sounds to me like the language that requires resilience just to get through the day. Mature faith knows that that primal promise is kept through this. From this struggled knowing, the community shares and reassures each other over and over again, bringing us back to trust, hope, love, and belonging. At its best, faith has taken the form of a quiet confidence and joy which enable one to feel at home in the universe. And home is that place where you get to come back to your shape, to yourself. Faith, life, resiliently generous. That's why it feels good to be generous, to find that place where you can feel good about being generous. Not just once, but over and over, participating in the inclusive resilience, the promise of being, of creation, participating in life and love. Participating in resilient generosity that is the very nature of joy. Always coming, trying to come forth, given half a chance. This community of faith, we are participating in no less than the promise of existence. We are creating a home in the universe where there's a warm, welcome light in the window. Let's let it shine.